Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best Giants talk in the Bay is on 95.7 The Game. Reaction to every pitch.
He struck him out! To end the game, Ryan Walker!
Every home run.
Jung-Hoon Lee finds the bleachers in right center field.
And every big play.
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
It's your fix for Giants baseball.
Not only is it the greatest game in the world, we're in the memory-making business.
The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap.
Welcome into the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Sam Lumman here, and everybody, get excited. He's back. It's the one, the only Dan Devone riding shotgun with me today. Glad to have you back, Dan. I missed you these last couple weeks. Giants, though, another rough one, folks. Stop me if you heard this one before. Giants lost at home. Don't actually stop me. We still have a show to do, so I am going to keep going here. But Giants did lose at home for the sixth time in a row, 7-6, falling to the Tampa Bay Rays at Oracle Park last night. Six straight losses for the Giants at home, 14 of their last 15 at their home ballpark, something that has not been done, Dan, since, believe this, 1901. William McKinley. William McKinley.
Oh, sure.
Was the president.
President McKinley.
It is 9:02 on Saturday morning at 95.7 The Game on the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. And we got William McKinley references happening on this show. That is how nuts it has gotten for the San Francisco Giants.
So we've surpassed 1940, which was the previous mark. And now we're in the turn of the century in the early 1900s.
I think they still had chamber pots back then.
Which I think says a lot. If we were doing a show like this, you know how it'd be done? We'd be using the sound effects, right?
Giants came rolling out the polo ground. See, yeah, that's how everyone talked back then, right?
Yeah, it's, I don't know how to explain it, but Pasta and the rest of you people that are already, and listen, I completely understand. I think Vegas has them at less than 3% of getting into the postseason. Oh. But I'm just going to give a level of optimism, not to be the contrarian, but to provide some sort of logic in all of this, what has been just an underwhelming, disappointing season to this point.
Yeah, it's just incredible how it's fallen off like this. I mean, you can write a book about how much it's fallen off this season for the Giants, and that's kind of where I start off is just, so there's a phrase, Dan, that we like to use in sports there that I am not a big fan of using. There's a lot of those phrases, but this one in particular, I'm going to bring up right now because I don't like using it because I think we overuse it. There's a lot of phrases in sports I think we overuse. Like, you know, championship or bust is an overused phrase in sports because I feel like a lot of people don't really know what bust means in that situation. Like, bust means heads are rolling. You know, like coming into the season, you know, especially at the All-Star break, I felt the Giants were in a playoffs or bust situation because, you know, if they with this, how good this team is, if you don't make the playoffs, then you're going to see some changes. The phrase I'm going to use here that I don't like using is the phrase rock bottom. And I don't like using that phrase generally because there's always a new bottom. There's always a new low that a team can hit. Just when you think it's gotten as bad as it could possibly get, something stupid is going to happen that's going to be even worse than it was before, and then you hit a new low. This week, though, particularly on Sunday, or sorry, not Sunday, Wednesday. What are days of the week again? Particularly on Wednesday, losing 11-1 to the Padres at home in a disaster class of a second inning where they gave up 7 runs in, I want to say, like 6 minutes or something like that. I left the room for 5 minutes. I came back and a 2-0 game was a 7-0 game. It's like, well, what just happened here? That escalated way too quickly. I think Brick just killed a guy. And then the way that game ended and the sad feeling you had around this team, the empty answers these players were giving you after that game, that felt like, I don't know how you can get much lower than that. And then last night happens, and it was kind of a weird first off scoring sequence here. The Giants score one in the first, two in the second, three in the third, which, you know, I joked out, you know, that's a 45-run pace for those who can pick up on that pattern. But the Giants scored a run, and then the Rays scored a run. And then the Giants scored two runs, and then the Rays scored two runs. And then the Giants scored three runs, and then the Rays scored three runs. Every single thing the Giants did was answered last night until they just had nothing else to make the Rays answer for. And then the Rays end up pulling it out and winning it in the ninth inning against Randy Rodriguez, who continues to learn the hard lesson about how the ninth inning is not the same as the seventh inning. So yeah, last night felt like a new kind of rock bottom for a team that is just absent of all answers, any way, shape, or form.
I think the baseball enthusiast would refer to that as bad or lack of shutdown performances on the part of the Giants, who staked, believe it or not, their pitchers to significant leads, but were unable to hold on to them. I got to tell you, six runs after three innings, what the hell was I watching? Who was that?
I'm starting to think, like, wow, maybe they figured something out. You know, it was pretty dismal on Wednesday afternoon. I think, you know, John Shea, who's been just a star in these post-game press conferences, covers the Giants for the San Francisco Standard, longtime SF Chronicle columnist, and just a great guy to talk baseball with. He has had some great stuff. And on Wednesday, he just kind of asked, like, you know, where do the Giants go from here? And Bob Melvin, who is just in one of the most defeated voices you'll hear, is just, we gotta come back to the next game and just try to win a game. Like, they are so just empty on answers. No one has any clue as to why this is happening.
Exactly.
As to how to fix what is happening. It's mainly at home, too. You look at the home road splits, Dan. They can't do squat right at home. Mm. But they're, you know, relatively competitive on the road. They're in this stretch where they have lost 14 of their last 15 at home, which, you know, if that doesn't make you throw up in your mouth a little bit saying out loud, then I don't know where you're at today. They're 6-6 on the road in that time. They're hitting .207 at home during this 1-14 stretch. And yet they are hitting, .203 at home, not .207. I gave him a hit there. They're hitting .274 on the road in that time. The home road splits for these guys is insane. And I know we love to blame the ballpark. The ballpark's not this much of a factor.
Yeah, I would agree. And the fact that you're still getting a loyal 35 to 38,000 fans that are showing up every day, I think because of that, is typically why you're going to see changes, or usually you will see managerial changes. Let's just cut to the chase. Bob Melvin's job is very much in doubt. It's a high wire act from him, and I think it's going from game to game and week to week. Now, I know that he was just re-upped, but I'm willing to put it out there, and it might be even odds as to whether he makes it through the season if we continue with this pace. Now, I don't mean to take gloves off and go after Bob Melvin, because we all know he's a good manager. But when you are playing like this, and it's sort of a head scratch and it's inexplicable, you got a roster that is, when you look at it, 1-9, maybe it's, you know, you're not winning the World Series, but certainly should be much more competitive than it is. You got a payroll north of $200 million, so you've spent the money. But then you look at all the little things, and as they like to say, you can't fire the whole team, but somebody has got to take the axe.
People want blood.
They do. And I don't know if it's necessarily a sacrificial lamb or giving my 8 pounds of flesh as much as we need a change. We need to change the culture of this team, of the clubhouse. We need to get re-energized because this is not working. And so he becomes somewhat of a sacrificial lamb in that regard. Because Bob Melvin, listen, he didn't get stupid overnight. He knows baseball. But somebody has to go just to, once again, revamp what I think should be a competitive baseball team. But if you're tuning in and you want me to point a finger, because we love to do this, right? Team goes south, It's either the coach, it's the manager, gloves off, get Steve Kerr the hell out of town. See you later, Shanahan. So long, Bob Melvin. And yes, Bob Melvin has been part of the problem, but is he the exclusive reason? No. But again, I think you make changes for the sake of just that, making a change to absolutely reverse what has taken place over the last 2 months, and that is a team that I think should be much better than what it is their one-loss record indicates.
I agree. And it's not that this team looks better than I think what their win-loss record would indicate. It's the fact that, Dan, they played so much better than this just earlier this year. So it's like, it's one thing if it's just kind of been a struggle or a grind all season long and they're trying to figure this out. And it's just like, why is what we saw in spring training never come together? This was a team that got to a 19-10 start in April. And, you know, hot starts are hot starts. You know, sometimes with a small sample size, guys will look really good in April before they regress back to their numbers, or teams will get off to great starts. You know, I remember there was a time during the 2010s where it seemed like every year the Rockies would get off to a great start in April, and then they would do the Rockies thing the rest of the year and lose. So a lot of times you see things in April that, you know, aren't real. But what we saw from the Giants in April, granted, a small sample size, we saw approaches that look sustainable. We saw a form of baseball that's just like, if they do this, like, they're going to win a lot of baseball games. They were moving on the bases. They were stealing bases. They were doing hit and runs. They were hitting the opposite field. Those aren't like, oh, you're just in a hot stretch kind of things. Those are strategic decisions this team was making in terms of how they wanted to win baseball games early in the year that were actually working. And coming off of a spring training where everyone's talking about how great the vibes are, how, you know, great every day at camp was. There's the Bob Melvin line about, you know, players are wearing their jerseys at camp because they were just so excited to be here. And you hear that every day consistently, you know, start to believe it for a second. You start to think it's true because we had every right to believe that it was true. And you start to leak oil in May. You get Rafi Devers. That's kind of supposed to plug up that leak. And from the high of, you know, being tied with the Dodgers at first place going into Father's Day weekend, acquiring Rafael Devers, everyone saying how the Giants look like contenders now, to being where we're at right now, Giants fans have every right to be frustrated, disappointed, furious, angry, cursing at their TV, booing this team off the field, which I believe they did on Tuesday or Wednesday. Rizzotto, Steven Rizzotto, you were there at all the Padres games. Was there booing off the field? Refresh my memory on that one.
There's some booing on Tuesday night, not really Wednesday afternoon, but definitely Tuesday and Monday. There was some slight boos whenever they'd strand runners or do something of that degree.
So, I mean, that's where things are at here, Dan. And why I say rock bottom is because it takes a lot, I think, for Giants fans to boo their team off the field. I can only remember a few times in my lifetime that I've been at games where a guy or the team was booed off the field. Giants fans don't usually do that because we love our team so much. We're going to grasp at any straw of hope there, any ray of light that can make us feel better. You know, Matt Chapman last night is saying, you know, we're only five games out. And it's not crazy, but, like, it's also crazy.
Well put. Yes, I would agree. The Bay Area doesn't boo. I just got back from New York. They boo in New York.
Yeah, I think they wake up in the morning and start booing.
They're booing on the way to the ballpark. The way the Mets and the Yankees right now are just taking the pipe. Both of them are circling the drain. But just getting back to the Giants. Thank you very much, Pasta.
Start spreading the news.
If it was, you know, it was an aberration at the beginning of the season. But just think about it. As you mentioned, the beginning of the year, nobody's hit their stride. What's up is down. What's down is up. If it wasn't for so what has turned out to be this unusual hot start of the season for the Giants, where would they be? You're talking about one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
If they don't get off to that 11 or 12 and 4
start. They started 8-1. They were 19-10 at one point. Yeah, if they're a 500 team in April, they are 4 games below 500 right now, I believe. Yeah, 59-63 is their record. You know, if you turn those 9 games over 500 at the end of April into a 500 record, yeah, you're a probably a 53-68 win team or something like that right now, which you're still ahead of the Rockies, but
well, if that's your claim to fame, then yeah, that says speaks you're, volumes.
You're hanging out with the Braves, Nationals, and Pirates, basically.
Exactly.
I would also, when you talk about the Rafi Devers trade and how that was supposed to point him in the right direction, Pasta, you can double check me, and maybe you know this off the top of your head, Sam, but I want to say that they've had the worst record in baseball since the Devers trade. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but since Devers joined this team, the San Francisco Giants have the worst record in baseball. I'm going to get even louder if I happen to be right, Pasta, but it's sort of inexplicable at the end of the day. I get it. I understand. I've been doing this long enough, and I'm talking about being a fan, that you want to instinctively you want to point a finger at somebody, right? Pat Burrell was on the hot
it's
seat.
It's a very easy punching bag these days.
Bob Melvin, Elliot Ramos, everybody's got a take. And one of the reasons why I will hold out hope, and yes, I'm that lunatic in the room right now, is because And Sam, stay with me on this because I think you might be one of the few guys to at least understand what it is that I'm saying.
I'm a pretty cultured individual, Dan. I think I can take it.
You know what it is? It's baseball. And as weird as that may sound, this sport is so damn frustrating and doesn't make sense. And sometimes it's a head scratch and you look around and you're like, well, I got to blame somebody. It's very similar, but on the other end of the spectrum, of all the success they had in 2021, I dare anybody to explain that to me. How that team won 106 games. But much like what they're doing this year, this game oftentimes makes no sense to any of us at the end of the day. And while they're not good, they're not this bad. And a perfect example, bases loaded, nobody out in the eighth inning last night. But Pat Bailey had solid contact. Now, I get it. The infield's in, but he had a high velo on that ball, on his exit velocity.
That was 99 off the bat, had a 520 expected batting average.
How many times have we seen that this year, though? And I listen, I'm not saying that, but sometimes the baseball gods just say, screw you, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And I know we want something a little bit more substantial, but that's all I got at this juncture.
Credit to Brandon Lowe, who made a hell of a diving catch on that Bailey line drive there, and this is where I'm at, Dan. You know, when that happened, bases loaded, nobody out, I turned to the people sitting next to me, in the press box. There's some people from the other stations. I turned to them and said, well, bases loaded, nobody out. We tried, guys. Maybe we'll get a run next inning.
I'm going to go get a Coke.
And then the worst part was, Dan, is how right I was. I thought it was going to be the strikeout double play combo. That's the one I went with, of how they were going to blow it. And, of course, they did it even worse. You had the Bailey line out there, which when that happened, it was like, well, then whatever, these next two at-bats aren't going anywhere. And then poor Drew Gilbert, grounder to third base, get the fielder's choice out at home. Elliot Ramos, grounder to third, fielder's choice out at second. And it's like, what the hell just happened here? Like, I didn't want to be right, but I was, and I hated it. So
don't you get the feeling that if the bases are loaded and the infield's drawn in and nobody's out, usually, if you're cheering for the teams at the plate, you're like, oh my God, this is such a great situation. Infield's in. We got so many opportunities. Now for the Giants, if that infield comes in, don't you get the sense they're going to hit it right at somebody?
For a team that loves to try to be homer happy and hit the fly ball as much as they can, suddenly, yeah, in those situations where you don't want a ground ball, that's all they want to hit is ground balls. It's so frustrating being a Giants fan right now. Shout out to those who are watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask First NorCal Financing at the dealer. Instant and just no. I see you guys there. Glad to have you guys with us. Bennett, I see you as well. 888-957-9570 is the number to call. You can also text us on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Remember, here on the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap, we take any and all Giants takes, and we want to hear from you, Giants fans. What's going on with this team? How did we get here? You know, it's everyone has been asked, or a lot of people on this team have been asked, why is this team struggling so much? And no one really seems to have a clear-cut answer. And I want to dive into that a little bit more because I have theories on why there is no clear-cut answer. And I'd love to hear from the fans' theories as to why there is no clear-cut answer here. Because it's...
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just, it's vexing how a team could be so good at one point and then just so bad. It makes no sense how an organization that prides itself with success at its beautiful home ballpark has put up the worst performance stretch in San Francisco baseball history. Yeah, this again, you're going back to 1901, the Polo Grounds. It was like one of the older versions of the Polo Grounds. So it's as dismal as it has ever been. Richard in El Cabrande, he's got some theories as to why the Giants suck. Richard, how you doing, man? You are on the wrap.
I'm doing good. Really enjoying you guys listening. Really enjoy listening to you guys talk sports. It really makes my Saturday morning. Thanks.
Awesome. Appreciate that.
Hey, Dan stole my thunder, honestly, because that's all I got. There's no explanation for why they're playing the way they are. I mean, Bob Melvin is not that bad a manager. He's not. Look at his history. I mean, I guess you could say nobody's this bad a manager, but the lineup they have, it makes no sense. The only thing that makes sense is what Dan was alluding to. The universe is collecting receipts in 21. That's the only thing that makes sense. Look at 2021. Everybody had a career year. It made no sense, just like this year makes no sense. It was a different kind of not making sense. It didn't make sense that they were playing as well as they were playing, that they were winning all those games. And you want to talk about managers? You think Gabe Kaplan is the greatest manager in Giants history? I mean, he was the manager of that team. And now it's like all the things that went his way are not going Bob Melvin's way. So I just don't think you can, dive into the stats. And that's the only thing that makes sense. The universe is collecting receipts. That's all I got.
Richard, I don't disagree with you. There is some probably receipt collecting there. The baseball gods might be punishing the Giants for some sort of hubris that was once, put out there by this team. When what Richard's saying there, the moment I thought about this week, there's two moments actually that took part this week. And that was on Tuesday night when I forget who it was on the Padres hit a, ground ball to first base that bounced off of first base and rolled into right field for a hit. And then on Wednesday, there's a ground ball at Willie Adames that in the second inning that would have turned into an inning-ending double play that bounced off second base, skipped over his head for a base hit, and that ended up kind of kicking off that 7-run rally there. Dan, I have not seen a baseball just hit a base like that since the 2012 World Series, Game 1. When that happened, I believe it was like the first or second inning the Giants did. I forget who it was who hit the ball off the top of my head. But yeah, I had not seen a ball just hit a base like that since 2012. And then I see it happen in back-to-back days against the Giants. Like, that feels like the baseball gods just being like, hey, watch this. I'm going to screw with these guys. And then just going to town.
There's been a lot of that this year. A lot of it. And I'm not saying that it's beyond their control, but it's beginning to feel that way. By the way, just a shout out to the 415. I don't reference the text line all that frequently, but
Boxer,
wow, good knowledge. Johnny LeMaster, who actually took the field in a San Francisco Giant game with the word boo replacing LeMaster on the back of his jersey because he used to be the target out there as Mr. E6, just a bad defender, could not hit, one of the worst shortstop for the Giants. His brother, by the way, a linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles.
But oh, good really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So, listen, usually, Sam, when something like this happens, you got to look internally. Like, if you look at the team, you're like, God, this is a good baseball team. What's going on? Usually, something's amiss internally. Like, there's something that's not visible to us, which is usually incumbent on the reporters, the people that follow the team, to get in there and find out what's going on. And to a man, people, and I'm talking about the team, responded in a positive vein when Bob Melvin was extended. There seemed to be complete camaraderie with Willie Adames at the eye of that storm in the beginning of the campaign. So this sort of goes beyond any sort of comprehension. We could all have our theories, but unlike years past, you can't just point at Farhan, or you can't just point at a couple of positions and saying, well, you obviously need help here. And speaking of Farhan and speaking of Gabe Kapler, Sam, during their run, it was never this bad. I'm willing to argue over the last 4 to 5 years, we have never saw a stretch like this.
Dan, we haven't seen a stretch like this in, what's the year, 2025? We haven't seen a stretch like this in 124 years.
There you go.
Again, 14 to 15 at home. 1901 was when this happened. So yeah, no, we have not. We saw some doozies during the Kapler. Mm. There was a time where I think the Dodgers won 8 straight or something at this ballpark. That was a doozy. But Dan, like, I remember watching, like, 2017, this team lost 98 games. And even they still figure out ways to eventually win games at home. And that team just, it wasn't that they were bad. It's just every team they played was just that much better than them. But it's funny you mentioned Johnny LeMaster. You know times are bad when Johnny LeMaster's name gets brought up, probably one of the worst Giants ever. And I threw a fun little nugget at Steven Rizzotto the other day. You know, Johnny LeMaster had a career OPS of around 570.
Really?
The Giants at home since July 1st.
We would take Johnny LeMaster today.
Have a 590 OPS. So the Giants as a team at Oracle Park are hitting a couple ticks better than Johnny LeMaster.
I've had enough.
When you go to the ballpark since July 1st, what you're basically seeing is a team of Johnny LeMasters. That is why I say the words rock bottom. Whenever you start getting Johnny LeMaster comps, oh man, Johnny.
It's the LeMasters taking the field today.
Johnny Disaster, as they would call him, as we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. We got a lot of, I would say, great Giants talk, but no, I'm just calling it Giants talk today. We're going to talk about Bob Melvin, Matt Chapman. He is on the injured list. Casey Schmidt, is he going to be on the injured list? We're going to talk about that as well. Landon Roop made his return to the mound last night. We can talk about some positive things. We won't really dive too deep into his start because we want to keep it positive with him. But we're going to see if we can find something positive. But Giants fans, yeah, again, 888-957-9570 is the number. I want to hear from you. How did it get to this point? How did we get here? If there is a moment this year that you could undo, what would it be? Take any and all Giants takes this morning on the show. It is the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. That's Dan Devone. I'm Sam Lumman. All of this is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
This should do it. And that's the ball game. So the Rays come in here on a Friday night. Giants, really the opportunity for them was in the eighth inning, and they let that one slip away. And what the Giants needed, the Rays got in the top of the ninth, and that was a big hit.
Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
This is some wild music to play for that call right there.
That's what I love about Pasta. He never makes sense. He just
really doesn't. No.
You just roll with it.
Oh, who cares?
We're at rock bottom. Another dismal loss. Let's get some 50 swinging music, though. There we go.
That's so him.
Oh, we're feeling it. Get some Elvis going. Which Elvis song is this? Why am I not knowing it off the top of my head?
Ain't nothing but a hound dog.
It is Hound Dog. That's what I thought. I should know more about Elvis. I used to be really into Elvis back in high school. My grandma was a big Elvis fan.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She had all. Oh, she had so.
She'd been to Graceland?
I don't know if she ever did. My grandma Dot, RIP. I got her on my phone case. That's me and her right there. Little me.
Awesome.
Yeah. She was a big Elvis fan. She gave me this big Elvis box set years ago. I have no idea where it is, but yeah, that's kind of what got me.
I was just thinking
Elvis.
About this the other day. Not that any of us, and especially if you're a star, you're somebody that reached the stature like that of an Elvis Presley, but going out at a young age like that, especially pre-social media and internet, it's sort of a rarity in today's world. Think about it. JFK, I don't know why he came. Are they doing a special on him on CNN or something? There's been a lot of sort of stories about
everyone's
JFK.
But
JFK went out. My lasting memory is this good-looking guy who's in the political arena, and I know that, you know, that can be really divisive. But if they stayed on a little bit longer, rest assured, people would have sunk their teeth into Elvis Presley. Something would have gone viral. Like if it was Elvis Presley today, let's just say Elvis Presley died or like a week ago. the image and the iconic feeling we have for Elvis Presley would be so tainted because there would have been so many stories, or he would have said something politically incorrect
online. Unearthed some mean tweets, yeah.
Yes, there would have been some sort of controversy from his past that we wouldn't have been privy to.
Well, let me tell you, I don't really like these immigration policies. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
Something like that.
There's something to be said about a pristine image back in the day just staying that way in our memory bank forever. Before,
so he basically went before anything bad could happen.
Exactly.
You know, get out. You leave him wanting more, I guess, something like that. So, so apparently my grandma, this is from my mom, she's texting me, and my grandma never visited Graceland, but she did save the dress that she wore when she went and saw him perform in Vegas. So that is how deep my grandma's Elvis fandom would go there. How deep is Giants fandom going these days? 34,000 people were at the game last night, and apparently I guess that was the smallest Friday night crowd we have seen all year long, and... You know, you're hearing the Giants players, they're bringing up the fans a lot. You know, Bob Melvin said this on Sunday, and I read this as a bit of a challenge or a call out. But here's what Bob Melvin had to say. He was asked about Justin Verlander's 3,500th career strikeout, which, you know, woo. But this is what Bob had to say in regards to just giving the fans nothing else. This was, again, last Sunday after the Giants lost to the Nationals. 8-0.
I mean, we got 40,000 people here. We don't give them anything to root for the entire game other than that. So, unfortunately, that probably is as disappointing a game we've had all year. Back to JV, strikes out the side in the first and has that moment. That was great. But, you know, he's got a lot of accomplishments, a lot of stripes.
That's a lot of stress there in that sniff there from Bob Melvin. And you had 38,000 fans at each of these Padres games. Fans are still showing up, and the players are noticing it. The players are mentioning just how they're not giving the fans anything to cheer for, and they know it, they feel it, and that just kind of adds to the frustration of what's going wrong. Like when Elliot Ramos was asked, this was after the loss on Tuesday night, that was a 5-1 loss on Tuesday night to the Padres. He was asked what's going wrong, and he gave us this gem of a soundbite.
It's just not happening. It's just frustrating. It's, I don't know what to tell you, honestly. It's just not happening. That's it. You have to get it done.
It's just not happening. That's it. Jonathan Kuminga's been saying something similar about his contract, too. It's just not happening. That's it. Got to get it done.
This will be the one show where we don't... JK gets left at the door. We won't do JK. You know, but...
I mean, that's what Kyle Shanahan's saying about having healthy receivers. It's just not happening. It's just not there.
I know what you're doing.
You got to get it done.
I know what you're... This is how coaches get fired. Again, I'm not going after Bob Melvin. I'm just saying that when... Because as the president of baseball ops, your obligation is to the fan base. And when they're turning out like this... You cannot put a product like this on the field. And if you do, then it's almost, again, getting back to what I said at the beginning of the show, somebody has to go because it's almost like a shot across the bow. You have to let everybody know, that being this faithful consumer base that's showing out, that I hear you and I recognize that this isn't good enough. And I'm letting you know that we are going to make changes because... What it is that we're providing every day is not enough. And I hear you is essentially why typically you'll see a change like this. That I understand as the manager or as the president of baseball ops, I hear you who are spending all this amount of money to come here and watch your team. And I am making a change almost exclusively, or at least that's largely influencing what it is that I'm doing, because we cannot toe this, we cannot continually maintain the status quo here, which is far, far below what it is that you deserve.
No, I mean, again, there are 40 games left in the season.
Does Bob Melvin make it to the finish line?
Yeah, so this is where I'm kind of going here. There's 100, so it's played 122 games now. There's 40 games left in the year. And half of them are going to be at home, half of them are going to be on the road, roughly. And the fact they're playing good on the road, at least, is kind of like a salvation of sorts. Because, again, you could make the theory of, well, you get on the road, maybe you get hot there and bring that back home. It, as we, you know, frantically grasp at straws that aren't there. But I'm at, like, you cannot make this fan base go another 40 games of dealing with this. Like, this cannot continue. Like, this home performance cannot continue, Dan. I mentioned the home road splits in our last segment here. Again, this team, in these last 15 home games, they've lost 14 of them. Again, not done since 1901 when President William McKinley was in the Oval Office. Boy, wouldn't it be great to have him back. They are hitting .203 as a team in those 15 home games. Conversely, on that same stretch, by the way, this stretch goes back to the Saturday loss against the Dodgers when the Dodgers were in town. Remember, the Giants won that Friday night game, and everyone was feeling good. They won 3 of 4 against the Dodgers and Phillies. Era Giants are on top of the world. Rafi Devers coming around. Matt Chapman's coming back. We're all happy. All-star break. Yay, woo! And then the Giants lost that Saturday. That was game one of these 15 games. So this is since July 12th. And in the road, they played 12 road games. They're 6-6 on the road, hitting .274. A lot of that damage coming against the Braves, Pirates, and Mets, not against the Blue Jays. But check out these insane home road splits during that time. Dom Smith, who has hit safely in, I believe, 15 of his last 16 games. He's doing great. He's hitting .333 at home, .323 on the road. No, I have nothing for Dom Smith. You know, 10 out of 10, no notes. You're doing great, Dom. Keep at it. Thanks for coming on the roast. Jung-Hoo Lee, who...
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's actually not hitting horribly the last month and a half. I know we don't like to give Jung-Hoo Lee credit for anything these days. Jung-Hoo Lee's hitting .255 during this home stretch here. .311 on the road. Patrick Bailey hitting .229 at home over this stretch. .306 on the road. Casey Schmidt, .227 at home versus .244 on the road. By the way, Casey Schmidt, x-rays negative on the wrist there. They're calling it a right wrist contusion right now. He took a hit by pitch in the 8th inning last night, had to leave the game. He was down for a minute, Dan. It hit him right, it looked like, on like the forearm there between the wrist and the elbow. I'm holding up here on the YouTube chat the spot of the arm that it hit, and it's on the side of your right forearm. If anyone's listening out there, the side of your right forearm between your wrist and your elbow, if you touch that part, you feel the bone right there. Yeah, that's basically where Casey Schmidt got hurt, which this is a long-winded way of saying, ow. Wilmer Flores hitting .200 at home, .357 on the road. Elliot Ramos, and this is where it starts to get kind of crazy, .197 at home, .367 on the road. Willie Adames, .193 at home, and he had a great night last night, a home run, a stolen base. He had been 1 for his last 22 on this homestand prior to last night. He's hitting .245 on the road in this stretch. Matt Chapman, who's on the injured list, we'll talk about that in a minute, .180 at home, .214 on the road. And then, of course, Rafi Devers, .161 at home, .327 on the road. Like, again, I know that this ballpark is difficult to hit in, but it's not that difficult to hit in. The ballpark effect is not that significant. And when you talk about you cannot make these fans go through this, like, that is what you cannot make these fans keep going through. It is just unconscionable to put your fan base through this. And I do like that the players are aware of it. They're bringing it up. They're mentioning it. They're caring about it. And I do want to make no bones about this, Giants fans. These guys do care. They are showing up every day. They are trying to win. They are trying to put a good product on the field. This idea that these guys are just loafing around, they don't care, no, I'm not acknowledging any of that. These guys do very much care. They are trying as hard as they possibly can. It's just not coming to fruition right now. But, like, something has to change. And that's where, yeah, I understand why the fervor to fire Bob Melvin gets louder and louder with every day. I want to go to the lines here, 888-957-9570. Scott is in, I think it's is that Pacheco, Patelco? I'm not sure. Were you at the game last night, Scott? You're on the wrap.
No, I wasn't at the game yesterday. I watched it somewhere around the middle of the game, and I said, wow, a tie ball game. It became interesting and went a few innings tied, and, you know, until they knocked that run in, and I thought it was going to, you know, be a good finish. And it could have been, you know, with that double Devers hit. He hustled around and made it to second, and it's like, all right, we're in business, and then it just petered out from there. But, you know, there was something in the eighth there that just didn't seem like good baseball. You know, I'm watching the catcher hold the ball as if it was a strike when the ump calls it a ball. And he did that over and over and over, and that's just not good baseball. You're watching that, and it's just not the sport of the game, you know. And then there was that Jung-Hoo Lee. He could have thrown that guy out at first that didn't tag up, and he kind of had this little weird double hop, and the ball tailed off, and they didn't get that out, and it sort of just went downhill from there. You'd think Bob Melvin could just sort of inspire these guys. I mean, that's the job of the managers, to inspire these guys. Hey, we got a leadoff double. Let's get out there and get it done. But it just doesn't seem that it's happening. Maybe he's just burned out. I don't know. What do you think?
I think the burnout thought is definitely there's some meat on that bone there, Scott. Thank you very much for the call. I think
we got to teach Scott what framing is.
I mean, Patrick Bayless, the one thing he can do, I wish he could frame pitches that he was seeing, you know, as a batter. Patrick Bailey, I want to put a team-wide ban on flipping a bat after a walk, because the amount of times that this dude has tried to flip a bat on what he thought was ball four but was actually strike three, like, that to me is worse than flipping your bat on a fly ball that doesn't leave the park. Well, first off, why are we flipping our bats on walks to begin with? That's not a flex. You drew a walk. Go down to first base. But then when you flip a bat and it's a strikeout, like, no, you have lost your bat flipping privileges for the rest of your life. If you ever draw a walk, set the bat gently down on the plate and go walk towards first base and let the bat boy come do his job. I'm tired of the bat flips there. Like, that is, it's ridiculous there. It's not cool. It's not fun.
You know why? Stop. You know why they do that, or why he does that? They're trying, because usually it's a borderline call, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to induce the ump. It's really similar to like Elliot Ramos, who immediately starts to take off his knee guard and then gets rung up.
Oh, no, a lot of guys would do that. Yeah.
So the bat flip is just sort of what it is that he does, where he thinks that the ump is going to be influenced by that. It's clearly a walk. He's already headed to first base. He's letting the ump know that was ball four.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my
reason. I get why they're doing it, but like, you're not good enough to do this. You know what was really cool back in the day? Was when Buster Posey was in the squat and he would catch strike three and start heading to the dugout before the umpire called strike three. That's called swagger. That's called being a badass. When you're flipping your bat on strike three, that's called you're not doing baseball good. And stop doing it, please, because it's embarrassing.
Isn't that the same thing though, but just reverse?
Well, okay, but if Buster's doing it, it's ball four. Then yeah, it's an issue. But when Buster did it, it was actually strike three. You know what I mean?
I mean, fair enough, but I'm sure he's done it for ball four before.
Well, you know what? There's a lot less video of that, and I didn't see it happen three times in a game this week.
Ball four, great book, by the way.
Ball four, back in the day, that was...
Grant Balfour.
Yeah.
Balfour rage.
So, you know, being out of San Francisco, sometimes I can lend this perspective from the other side of the coast to the other side of the world sometimes, and it's, you know, the one play that got replayed time and time again this past week that is sort of etched in my memory. It was Elliot Ramos missing the cutoff or holding on to the ball and grounding the thing, and Willie Adames had to race over and slide. And then usually it's followed up by the Giants have hit, your favorite phrase, rock bottom.
Yep.
But it was that one play that I saw from Sky Sports out in London to New York sports, and it was followed immediately by what's wrong with San Francisco. This team is, and I think when you see something like that immediately, if you don't live in the area and you're thinking about the San Francisco Giants just momentarily, they're just flashing to your head, is like, that team's a mess. Elliot Ramos is throwing. I mean, how fundamental is this?
Yeah, so, and Rizzo, if we can get Bob Melvin's explanation for what went wrong on that Ramos throw the other day, which the explanation made it so much worse.
It compounded things.
Honestly, I would have just said, yeah, the ball slipped. Like, it happens sometimes. Sometimes you're throwing a ball, your hand's sweaty, it just slips out of your hand. Just say that. Yes, it's ridiculous. Yes, you're going to end up on SportsCenter, not top 10. You're going to have to take your lumps there. But when we get Bob's answer up there, which just made it completely worse, like, it does. It feels like that play was a microcosm for how this season has gone so far. Rizzo, when you have it, just start playing it and we'll stop talking.
Well, you know,
but
that response, it's almost as if Bob Melvin was self-incriminating himself. That's the reason why managers get fired. Well, just simply because you were positioned improperly, well, that's on you. That's exactly what it is that we're talking about here, the little things. You know who the Giants have become? They are the complete antithesis of the Milwaukee Brewers. Mm. You know what the Milwaukee Brewers do? Well, everything.
Yep. They're a very smart organization.
They run the bases well. They pitch well.
They
hit just enough home runs. They do all the little things well. And San Francisco needs, I'm sure there's a lot of teams in Major League Baseball that look at the Milwaukee Brewers and they should say to themselves, best opposing company, that's who we need to be. They're not loaded with stars. For crying out loud, we took their shortstop, their best player a year ago. And here they are with just the guys who know how to play the game from a fundamental standpoint. And that's where San Francisco needs to get back to.
No, and again, the Brewers are one of the best run organizations in baseball right now. By the way, Rizzo, JT26, if we can get that one on the board, we can kind of get into what Bob said about the Ramos play there. But this is, and that's what's kind of so even more frustrating, Dan.
Talking
about all this.
Ramos, in his defense, he's throwing to second base and we're double cut and we're in the wrong spot as far as the cutoff and relays go. So he's throwing the ball to second base, sees that nobody's there and it came out of his hand. So it wasn't his fault. It was more how we were positioned for the cutoff. And then ball gets by, you know, Bailey over his head and it just looks bad. The way we've been playing, looks horrible. You know, now it's all of a sudden it's 7-0 and we're in the second inning and the way we've been playing, it's just miserable feeling.
I say he's an idiot.
Oh, ow. It's not his fault. It's everybody's fault. That's where oh, my God. It just makes it so much worse.
Yeah, maybe he's taking one for the team.
Yeah, no, Ramos didn't throw the ball bad. No one else was doing their job. and this was, again, this was after Bob Melvin called out this team for giving this fan base nothing to root for. And then they go and get outscored 20-3 in three games against the Padres. And then John Shea, our friend at the SF Standard, been a superstar in these press conferences of late, asked the simple question, where do the San Francisco Giants go from here? This was after the game on Wednesday. This is what Bob had to say.
We just got to concentrate on winning a game, not worry about the standings, not worry about where the wild card is. Playing a clean game and winning a game and getting back to playing clean baseball. So, you know, at this point in time, we have to go inning to inning, game to game, not worry about the standings at this point.
Yeah, just focus on winning a game because that's hard enough as it is. They're not worrying about the standings anymore. Where do they go? Can they just try and win? They tried to last night, and there is a brief moment where you thought that they would, you know, actually, like, win, which was a crazy thought to think. And then they stopped scoring, and you realize, like, when they didn't score in the eighth inning, Dan, you knew the Rays were about to win this year in the ninth. This game was over going into the top of the ninth inning. And then afterwards, you know, the game, we're doing the press tour, and I asked Bob, just how's everyone handling this right now? Like, what's the morale? What's the mood of this team? And here's what he had to say.
Well, look, everybody's feeling it right now, especially at home. You lose games, and you lose multiple games, and you lose them in different fashions. It's not a great feeling. But I think we take the field every day in good spirits, and you got to do it again the next day, unfortunately.
Got to go out there the next day, unfortunately. Unfortunately, the Giants have to take the field today. Like, this is, again, when I keep hearing people say things like, Ramos, what's wrong with this team?
It's just not happening. It's just frustrating. It's, I don't know what to tell you, honestly. It's just not happening. That's it. You have to get it done.
Hey, Logan Webb, what's going on with this team?
I can't tell you the answer. I don't know. That's it. I honestly, no clue.
And then I see the manager coming out with just, we have to take the field, unfortunately. We just got to figure out how to win a game. It's the we're not saying the quiet part out loud, and that is there is a frustration with this team and this coaching staff that if there is a message being delivered from this coaching staff to the players, it's not being heard. It's not being delivered correctly. There is just, I think, a complete failure of leadership right now being seen on this team. And I'm sure if you truth serumed everyone in this clubhouse, coaching staff too, they would admit this as well, because you cannot be a professional in this game. You cannot be a leader in this game and be okay with the performance that is happening right now. And so when I keep hearing everyone saying, I don't know, it just tells me that either they really don't know, which is frightening in its own right, or they just don't want to say that we've lost faith in our leadership.
They
just don't want to say that part out loud.
Ramos is going to say, well, Bob Melvin's got to go.
No, and honestly, no one's really going to say that. Or like, I don't know what that comment does look like. And again, I think these guys are professional enough that they're not going to just drag their manager through the dirt. And I do respect that, you know, because it's, say what you will about Bob's performance this year, he does have respect in this game. And I do think this team does respect Bob Melvin and this coaching staff. They're not going to just, even if it's deserved or not, they're not going to drag him. But at the same time, it's painfully evident that what's going on here in this clubhouse is just, there's, I don't know if there's buy-in right now. And these guys are out there with no enthusiasm, no spark, no, it just seems like there's no hope on every day. And maybe a couple wins changes that, changes the mood there, because I do think there is a mental component to this. We can get into this on the other side. But at the end of the day, it's just, it's an unconscionable performance of leadership by this team. And when we talk about the things that frustrate me the most, that's definitely up there, because I know Bob Melvin's better than this.
Well, see, this is when usually when you see a team playing like this and you look at the 1-9 and you're like, well, this is a good roster. What's going on? Typically, there's something that's beyond the curtain, or it's not visible to us, and there's some sort of internal situation that we're not privy to. But almost to a man, and I don't know this, I'm not in the locker room, but almost to a man, that when Bob Melvin got extended, there was complete support and buy-in on this guy. Usually you're able to detect dissension or if there is cancer in that clubhouse a little bit sooner, but that's why, again, it's easy to point a finger at Bob Melvin, and he's part of the problem, but I don't know if he's the exclusive culprit. And so I know we all want to point a finger and saying this is the reason why and give our takes, but at the end of the day, I implore anybody to convince me and come strong and support this with data and precedence as to what's wrong with the San Francisco Giants, because you can't do it because nobody knows.
Yeah, I think you make an interesting point there. And maybe there is some desire to still rally behind Bob for this team. We get into that a little bit more on the other side. Plus, also some thoughts on Chapman, Devers, Adonis, wanting to get into those three as well. Mitch, I see you. You're in New Jersey. We're going to get to you on the other side. All this brought to you by Freeman Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Shopping for a new car is fun. Shopping for financing, not fun. Luckily, First NorCal Credit Union can help. With rates as low as 4.75% APR, you can...
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.